Hi, welcome to Friendly Ties. This is our 29th episode, and we just recently got the Golden Geek nomination for Best Podcast. So in celebration, we are going to look back at our other 28 episodes and say how we're feeling about all those games.
Let's go.
Let's go indeed. Yeah, we have released, we started in October 21, you said, John.
Yeah.
So it's been 2.5 years since then. We've done 28 episodes. This is our 29th, so we're one episode shy of hitting the once a month mark.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Are we really?
Honestly, yeah. Shocking considering we've had some real gaps.
This would have been perfect for a 30th episode, and we're prepping for another episode we were going to record for you guys, but we wanted to record this and put this out because... I want to thank everyone for going to nominate us. Like we said, we have no illusions of grandeur. Yeah, I was too. I mean, honestly, I was like scrolling down and I was like, okay, maybe next year. And then I got there, you know, I was like, oh my God. Like, so it's
Friendly Ties, that's me.
Yeah, you might not have illusions of grandeur, but I have delusions of grandeur for sure.
This is a long way of saying thanks, but also go vote. Because the voting is on right now for the actual award. Why not? You know, there's some other really good podcasts out there.
So many really good podcasts on there. It is truly an honor. And we're just excited to be nominated. But if you're so inclined, feel free to go vote. But we really do thank you for nominating us. So thank you guys. And let's
episode itself. Yeah.
Yeah. Where are they now?
We've intentionally not talked about this so we could it's like a hot take on ourselves essentially. But yeah, I think we're just going to go chronological, right? The very first episode that we released, not the first episode that we recorded. The first episode that we released was Beyond the Sun.
What was the first episode that we recorded?
The first episode we recorded was Crusaders.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, we recorded that one.
Behind the scenes moment. Yeah, that's right. We recorded it. And it wasn't very good.
We were not very enthusiastic. And we're like, I don't know if we want the first episode to be us mildly dumping on a game. So let's put it to the side.
A little bit more hype, yeah.
And glow about Beyond the Sun. So we kind of reverse things around.
All right.
I've not played Beyond the Sun in years, honestly. I still have it. I bought the expansion. Yeah, I bought the expansion. I haven't played it. I still like it, I think.
It is so good. I have played Beyond the Sun quite a bit, actually.
Same.
First of all, it's on BGA, which is fantastic, which makes it really easy to play. But I actually played a four-player game of it in person just about a month and a half ago, and it was still so good. And it's really good online. I love this game. This game has held for me, and I am dying to play the expansion. So let's do that really want to play the expansion.
The last time I played was October 2021. I have not played since we released that podcast.
Are you serious?
And it was the three of us. Yeah. I really should change that because it's still in the collection. It survived a bunch of culls. It's a really smart game. And also, I'm pretty sure there's a new version that got sort of announced from a different publisher, the soft announced somewhere. I don't know the details. I'm not being cagey. I just remember seeing that somewhere. So there might be a new version with better graphics. Because that's definitely something that turned a lot of people off, was it looks like a spreadsheet.
It's still hideous. There's no question about it. When I played in person, I would say there's at least a 50% rate where we do something wrong in the game because of misreading a card because there's just blocks of text everywhere or something like that. But yeah, it doesn't, that flaw almost doesn't matter because I've played this game a fair amount. It's pretty popular in tournament. They did a few revamps. That's not the right word. Edits to the game.
Oh,
a few texts.
They balanced a couple cards.
Yeah. That are different between the editions, which is definitely an improvement. But yeah, it's just the mini game of the tech tree, the mini game of the exploration track, they're well interwoven together. The economy, you know, your sort of personal board, those the boxes become people thing is very clever. It's gamey without being too gamey. It strikes a really nice balance between not being too intense and cerebral, but also very much engaging you. I think it's a very, very strong It's like one of my favorite medium games still.
That's awesome.
Me too. Me
That's
too. Awesome. And it really, yeah. And I was afraid that it was going to be one of those ones that kind of like disappeared.
Same.
But it hasn't, you know, or one of the ones I was going to be like holding the torch for that no one else wanted to play. And right. So like, I was shocked when I went to game night and they were like, do you want to play this? I was like, oh my God, yes, I do. Like, I love this game. What I love about it too is the game length. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It plays in a nice like 1 to 2 hours, like depending on player count and familiarity and all of that. Like I love that about this game. Like, you know, right around the time you want it to end, it ends, if not sooner. And I think that's just, it's really great.
So the second episode was Union Station. And this...
Oh my God, Union Station. I forgot about Union Station.
Neither of you have played it since then.
You know, I haven't, but it keeps coming up in my life. One of my friends actually bought it after listening to our episode and has multiple times mentioned wanting to play it. And so, and then of course I know you have it, you know, still cross paths with Travis. And so gosh, I forgot about Union Station.
This was kind of a Hot Takes episode for us because it was our first time playing. We've actually played with Travis. And also this is back when... we used to make full playthroughs of every one of these videos. The kind of model for Friendly Ties changed over time. We put this one out along with a Kickstarter campaign that went for it. It wasn't sponsored or anything. It's just, I'm friends with the designer and the publisher. And the campaign did quite well. I got my copy. And I have played this 5 times. In fact, I played it last week. So I'm kind of the inverse on you two. Like, you haven't played it again for the Beyond the Sun. I really like this game. I feel like... a champion for it a little bit because it's been, you know, not everyone has loved it out in the media sphere, but I don't think I've taught this to anyone who did not really have a good time. And that might be because I'm having a good time and like happiness is infectious around a table. But you know, this is a cute Rails game that's really fast to teach, and it invariably leads to laughter because you can sell stocks and really mess people up and like, no, that kind of thing that happens every single time. I played it at every player count. I've liked it at every single one of those. So, I mean, I'm still really high on train games in general, cube rails games, but I don't know. I saw this. I totally forgot we did an episode for it as well. And it's like, yeah, no, it's still hitting the table for me. It's a good time. It's a really fun one.
I will just use Union Station as a proxy for my referendum on cube rails. I really let John try to convince me that they're great. They're all totally solid. And that's the end of my feelings about it.
I did not manage to hook you.
Yeah, it's not my genre, which is fine.
Yeah, he hasn't quite managed to hook me either, but this one of the games, Cube World games we played, I think this one has definitely been my favorite. And something that I've discovered, which is about myself, in terms of stocks, and John and I had like an epiphany. We played this game called Owner's Choice recently, which is basically just gambling.
Yeah.
And I realized that all these times he's talking about stock games, I'm like, what? That's not a stock game. A stock game for me is like playing the stock market. Like, you're freaking gambling, right? And so that idea of selling stocks is just, that's all I, when people say stock games, that's what I want. And so I was reminded of Union Station in that conversation because it's one of the few Cube Rails games where you can also sell stocks. And so I was immediately like, oh, I want to play that again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it just keeps kind of crossing my mind. So another one that I would like to actually, you know, go back to and
I'll
see
I'll show
now
it to
kind of where it's at.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it sounds like you won't need much convincing. So cool.
All right, so Crusaders, the original OG, the first one we recorded.
It has a longer name than this, right? Isn't it like Crusaders, Let Thy Will Be Done?
Thy Will Be Done, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. If I remember correctly, this was kind of like a get a game off of Anastasia shelf game.
Oh, it was 100%. Talk about a game that's like on your shelf that you're like, oh my God, please, can we play this? And it was like the Kickstarter fancy edition.
Like, you wanted to know
whatever.
If you should sell it or not. And that's why we played it, we recorded it, and all that kind of stuff was just like, does Anastasia get rid of
the
it?
True,
and you did.
The true goal behind Friendly Ties. Can we play all the games off my shelf? Yeah, and we did, and I found it Middling, and
do you still own it is the question, right?
No, I immediately sold it. It was like the best story too. Like, I sold it to a guy. I don't often sell games like overseas, but like I think I sold it to a guy in like Germany, and he was like gonna surprise his wife with it because it was her favorite game, and it was like the deluxified edition. And so like it was one of my favorite board games ever. Like, really warmed my heart. It was such a feels good. And so I'm so glad we played it so I could sell it to this guy so he could surprise his wife with it. And yeah.
I've not played it since then. I think I had already sold my moved my copy on. I think I might have given it to somebody, but yeah. Yeah, it always feels bad having a game set on your shelf that you know you're not going to get to. And so knowing that somebody's going to be like overjoyed to get it, like that's it doesn't get better than that.
I did try to design a game using the Moncala mechanic, but it was like a cooperative or like a solo style mining in space kind of thing, or like, you know, the number of little pips you had determined like your move or your strength of mining or whatever, because I do still really like that mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but yeah, I never got anywhere with it.
I think, you know, I want to give Crusader some credit. I think it has some very interesting mechanisms. I think I didn't quite realize, I think until we were playing it and talking about it, quite how fraught I felt about the theme, and mm-hmm. which is like not something I always feel about these games, but the way it was sort of represented here, and as well as like the just the gameplay itself, like I actually think there's a really solid game there. It just didn't grab me in a way where I was like, hey, I really want to just like mm-hmm. keep going with this. And it's actually kind of an interesting episode for us because, you know, we put a lot of work into the episodes that we record because we play the game a lot of times to kind of give a really well-rounded review. And if we're not really feeling a game, we don't usually record an episode, unless at least one or two of us is really like, hey, like, no, like, I'm really feeling this. And I think Crusaders is actually kind of an example of us kind of recognizing that, because mm-hmm. we all thought it was a fine game, but we just didn't. It just wasn't like something I think any of us were really fired up on. And I think that we are like, that just doesn't make for good listening, and that's just kind of not mm-hmm. what we want to, that's not how we want to kind of share. So,
yeah,
you know.
We forgot who we were.
Yeah, this guy's unfortunately sacrificed at the altar, as it were. our next game, though, we've done 3 of our 28 episodes on, is Ark Nova.
Ark Nova.
should we talk about all the things at once, or should we keep them separate?
I mean,
I think we kind of, let's just talk about them all at once. That's probably better.
Yeah, this is also the only game we've already revisited, right? So if you want to hear what we think about this game now, you can go listen to
from like
a revisited episode
about a year ago or so. Yeah, I think the funniest thing, so I mean, obviously Ark Nova, it's like in the top 10 on BGG, like it's taken the board game world by storm. I do think it's kind of funny, like going back on that episode, I remember we were all like, this game's good. Like, I don't think I'd suggest it if I didn't actually know it already, but since I know it now, I guess I'll play it again. But we'd only played it once correctly and once incorrectly, and the incorrect play was, like, 5 hours long and miserable, so, like, I think it kind of needed to sell itself on us. And now, like, I played it 20 times, and I know you two have played it, like, way more than that.
A gazillion times. I was preparing for a tournament. I've played it so many times. I'm actually back to being a little bit burned out on it.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've played it too much. I think that the general like online play style is 2-player, and I think I don't like Ark Nova 2-player. It's too the timing of it is like too prescribed, I guess. I don't know. I'm not as big fan as 2-player. I really like playing it at 3-player and 4-player still, but of course it's a big time commitment.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just still so fun to jam that game. And it's amazing to me. This is the game that's probably changed the most and in a way like inspired this episode, because like not only did we record that first episode, we had a revision in that episode. We had an add-on at the end. Yeah, like you said, John, we'd only played it a couple of times.
Because we played it between recording it and then releasing it, and we're like, "Hold on, We our takes have changed."
Exactly, because we played it so much, like it, within like a weekend, right? It was like a very and then obviously since played it a ridiculous amount of times. That's why we, you know, did another episode, and we had played a whole bunch because it was just coming out on BGA. And then we from that ended up doing a reveal episode because the designer, Matthias Vega, he sent us some of the cards from the expansion. And so that's a whole nother episode that,
really
that we
exciting.
Did.
So much fun.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. That was one of the... Just such a cool moment. And it's a really fun episode. And probably not one people
takes.
Are going to go back
to. It was like, surprise,
to.
Let's read a card live and then talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how our takes stand totally... up on that one.
I listened to part of it like a couple months ago. And I was like, it's so funny listening to us to be like, what is this? Like, what is this symbol? We have like no idea. Like, we're trying to parse it. Because we had no rule book. We had nothing, you know. So we were like, I don't understand. But I'll say this on Marine Worlds. I have since played Marine Worlds, and there's things in it that I do really like how it amps up in the game, but it adds a level of additional thought and complexity that I think like I had reached this like warm, cozy space with the base game that I was like, I don't know. I for some reason I've had two of my like least good plays with Marine Worlds, I need to play Marine Worlds more.
I think it's fun. I think it's more chaotic. I think that in general, I'm anti-expansion. And this is, if you want to play more Ark Nova, it's more Ark Nova. I think
Absolutely.
It does that well because I've played
a lot
of Ark Nova. But I think that if you're not a big fan of Ark Nova, there's no reason to play this expansion as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I have it. It's like... integrated into my box. I'm never going to unintegrate it.
Not play with
so
it. Yeah.
It's going to get played every time we play it more. And, you know. Jessica really likes this game as well. And so this is a game that we played two players a whole bunch, like on our coffee table in an evening, you know, get a glass of wine, hang out and, you know, put some animals around. And we played Marine Worlds a couple times and I like it. I don't think I'm shouting from the rooftops on it, but like I'd happily play without if I had that option. I'm not going to be like, oh, I wish this had Marine Worlds. But because we have it in ours, the more fish, I'm down to it.
Yeah. So our next episode is another interesting one. It is Gollum.
That game died a hard death.
It did. It did. I'm looking at my plays, and the last time I played was right before we recorded this episode. I played it 5 times before we recorded that episode. We played it pretty hot and heavy right before that. Yeah.
We were torn, I remember.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, we liked it, we were reticent, but I'm not even just talking about, like, it dying in our plays afterwards. Like, I don't see this game get played anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one that it's funny because it sort of comes up occasionally in the comments and different things, like, going back to Gollum, and it's like, this one is one I expected to kind of, it's funny because we played Gollum and Ark Nova at the same time, and I did, I kind of expected Gollum to be bigger, especially considering how many plays we had of it. I remember saying at the time and in the episode that, you know, it was one that he like needed to like sit on my shelf and I would like go back to it. But I am sad to say I haven't gone back to it, and I haven't really felt overly desirous to, but like we said, it was torn. We had a lot of fun with it at that time, right? Like we had a lot of fun with it. I think we got what we wanted out of the game.
Yeah.
I think it was too much Euro and not enough soul, which is maybe a very thematic choice for what a golem is meant to be.
Yeah.
Fascinating, Nick. Oh my God. That's like a whole new lease on life.
And like looking at our plays, Anastasia, you and I played it on November 5th, November 7th, November 9th, November 12th. And then we recorded episode. So we were like, we were just slamming this game. And then I think I'm the same way. I think I played this game 5 times and I was kind of done with it. Like, I enjoyed those. Yeah. The 5th play wasn't like, screw this game. I mean, I don't remember exactly what I said in the podcast, but I still stand by it. I think I had just kind of seen what I felt like I was going to see in that game. And I did not feel like it was worth continuing to have to teach it to people, I guess. Also, it was such a tight game. Like, you take... like 12 actions or 9 actions. I can't remember. 10, a very low number of turns. And I don't know if I'm crazy about those kind of games because those tend to lean on pop-offs to make the game work. And 100%. Pop-offs means AP and downtime generally. And there was definitely a lot of AP and downtime in that game.
100%.
I still like the idea of like your resource generating golem running away from you and like you having to like manage that somehow. So that the concept is still neat, but yeah, just the pieces didn't all.
I just saw another game the other day that had like marbles coming out of a thing. It's like a really simple game. I think it's called Gizmos. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, that reminded me of Gollum. So it's funny.
I would definitely rather play Gizmos.
The next game, though, I think is going to be a popular one. Anno 1800, which I think we're all hyped for the expansion. I haven't played it in a while. But I actually the other day was like, we need to play Anno again because it's been a while and I actually like am itching for it.
Yeah.
It's a game that still has its flaws. Like it still has its like tracks, its trenches that I think are a little bit weird, but the game's unique. It stands out in my mind because that supply line system, I've never seen it somewhere else. I think it works really well.
Yeah. I've played it 13 times and the last time I played was 2 years ago. And actually I haven't played it since then. Intentionally, because 2 years ago I'd played it 13 times and I was like, I don't want to burn out of this. And they announced an expansion. I didn't think it was going to take over 2 years for that expansion to arrive. I thought it was going to be like maybe a year max. So I like intentionally backburnered it to be like, I will revisit this again when the expansion comes out, because it's my understanding, even back then, but they've tweaked it. The expansion, it brings in some things that are kind of patches to some of the problems with the game. Like if you don't start with a purple card in your hand, you're at a disadvantage and various things like that. And I don't know all the details. I think they actually scaled the expansion back over the course of the last 2 years, but it's got a whole bunch of new stuff, new cards, tweaked mechanics. And I think the biggest reason I'm super jonesing for that expansion is because I'll be able to personally be like, okay, let's play it again. Like,
Yeah, I am so excited. I don't think I've ever been so excited for an expansion that I am for this one. I actually just played this about 2 months ago.
Oh, nice.
It's funny. I went to like a new game group and 1 week we played Anno 1800 and the next week we played Beyond the Sun. Not my suggestions. And I was like, oh, you people are dope. Like, coming back. And yeah, it was awesome. And what I loved about it is like I hadn't played it. I also hadn't played it in at least a year. And I had just started saying like, hey, I want to play this again. And so I was super excited. And I was so impressed with myself because I was able to teach it pretty much from memory, which
That's
for me
cool.
is like, I know, right?
It's a testament to the elegance of the mechanics, maybe not the components.
Exactly.
But
No, all of it. Like, as we were setting up, I was able to kind of explain the things. I had to look up a few things, obviously, but it is still so simple. I will totally admit that in that play, I think for the first time, I think I had been, like, totally in honeymoon for, like, 2 years with Anno. And I saw some of the things that you guys have kind of always, and me, that like, some of the flaws that people have always kind of been pointing out. And I was like, so it just made me even more hype for the expansion because I was like, yeah, okay, there are a few flaws, but man, I've had such a good time with this game. It is so good. In fact, I liked it so much that I went and sought out the video game and I literally bought a PS5 so that I could play Anno 1800
That's
from my
amazing.
Sofa. Yeah.
Well, did you like the video game?
I did, but you know what's funny? It's like I'm like a terrible video gamer. Like I only go like 10 hours into a game and then like because I got it on the computer first. I feel like I've started Anno 1800, the video game, like 5 times and like never gotten beyond, you know, like the first,
That's
honestly,
amazing.
Like the phases you see in the board game. Like I've never gotten to the blue people or the purple people.
I love that.
In the video game. But I have it. And now maybe when we get off, I'll go play it.
After that,
Furnace is the next
Furnace.
One.
Yeah.
Furnace.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Furnace.
Yeah, Furnace, I expect to have a little bit more staying power for me. I
me
think,
too.
I mean, at the time, and actually still, I think it's a very elegant game. I really like the bidding system in this game quite a lot. I'd love to see that somewhere else.
Love it.
But I think the game didn't pack enough of a punch long term. I wasn't too compelled to play it again. I felt like I'd seen everything. And, you know, I found that the replayability felt on the low side to me.
Yeah, I was, I think, very high on it. And I sold it a few months after. And I think part of that's because, I mean, I did play it a bunch, 7 times. It's quite a bit. And I played it like 3 or 4 times after we recorded that episode. But I found that a couple people kind of bounced off it. And also, I think like a really good mechanism doesn't necessarily make the game. And I think a lot of it was me honeymooning on this bidding mechanism is so freaking cool. But then how much fun am I actually having? I was having some fun. It was not an unfun game. But after seven plays, I kind of felt like I had had the fun that I was going to have. And I had explored that really cool mechanic as much as I was going to with that. And I'd love to see it in more games for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I echo both of your guys' thoughts to a T. That's exactly what happened to me with Furnace. I think I had the same experience as both of you, where I was just like, this mechanic is so cool and I want to see it again. But I think I wanted more game around it. And I was actually surprised that I was hoping that non-gamers would kind of like it, come to it more, because it's a fairly light game with a cool mechanic. But that's kind of when I realized that the mechanic wasn't enough, because the game itself, you know, I played with my dad, I played with my partner, like neither one of them was like really into it. And I realized, oh, this mechanic just really speaks to me, but it's like not enough game to kind of grab non-gamers. And so I just let it go about 6 months ago, I think, because I kind of held on to it for a while, because I was just like, oh, I was so excited to get it and play it, and it wasn't. So, you know, I want to say this caveat with, I think, all of these games, like especially some of these ones where we're like, hey, you know, we let that one go or we haven't gone back to it. It's like, we did play these games like seven times, like, you know, and sometimes that's all you can ask of a game. Like, it's like, I wouldn't go back and change it for the world. Like, if you haven't played Furnace, go play Furnace. Like, it was really fun and you will have fun with it. Is it a game that you're going to hold on to forever? I don't know, but I think, you
know. Depends on how much you like resource conversion. Furnace is also the starting point where we no longer made the playthrough with friends videos, like recorded in Tabletop Simulator. Anime 1800 was the last one of those. So after that, we have game 8. This is Boon Lake.
The beginning of the many Fisters on this list.
Yes, yes, the Fister onslaught of our channel. I played this one 5 times. I don't think I played this one after we recorded the episode.
Really?
If I remember correctly, we all liked it, but none of us were in love with it. I think I might have been the highest on it of the three of us.
I think you were in love with it. I thought you were in love with it. And because I thought you were the one of us to get a copy, and I thought you might have played it afterwards.
I don't think so.
Yeah, Boon Lake. Man, Boon Lake. I wanted to love this game so much.
Yeah.
I really did. And sometimes I think about it and I think like, man, should I play that again? Like, and there are so many mechanics in here that I like. This is what I wanted post Great Western Trail and Maracaibo. Like, this is the loop game that I wanted, is Boon Lake. Like, everything about it, little levers to push, literal levers to push. Like, I like the whole river thing. Like, I building out in this shared communal spaces, like the action cards, like I wanted to love this game. I think for me, the thing that get killed Boon Lake for me is just that I could not improve. I could, like,
that's right, you plateaued immediately and scored like the same score over and over
I
and over
played
again.
It every different way, completely different strategies, ignoring things that I just felt like I had hit a point. And I think for me, that's where it felt like it's not that I needed to get better, but I just also felt like I had seen so much of it, and there still was something that just the drama of it. I think it is a really finely tuned game, and I think I just kept finding myself, obviously, you know, if you've been listening to us recently, getting pulled back into the Great Western Trail world. And so I haven't gone back to it. I know an expansion came out for it, and I just didn't quite feel like I wanted to go back to that to that lake, so to speak.
It has pieces of the other Fister games that I really like, the cards and the, you know, the looping and so on and so forth. But for me, I think the lack of any theme, I mean, just Boon Lake, get stuff the river, like it didn't compel. And so there was nothing in the game that felt special enough that I ever came back to it. And I, you know, even us talking about it right now, I'm like, yeah, I don't need to play it again.
Yeah. I will say that I did buy the expansion at Essen last year, and I do own a copy of it. And I have not yet played the expansion, and I've been looking for an excuse to. So maybe us talking about it is an excuse to make the expansion happen.
Episode 9 is really special. Episode 9 was Maracaibo, How to Win. It's special for a couple reasons. It's the only episode that John's not in.
Yep.
It's the episode that makes me then spin off to make my own YouTube channel, like a Friends spin-off situation here.
Yeah, you're Joey.
and it is the episode that inspired the designer of Pirates of Maracaibo to reach out to us and say, hey, do you guys want to play test this game? So that expanded our social network. So this episode is really special because of all of the parasocial things that it created.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, hawk your YouTube channel a little bit more.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. If you don't know
Tell
my YouTube
people,
channel.
Nick.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. My YouTube channel's name is Phoenix, spelled with N-I-C-K-S rather than I-X. It's a strategy YouTube channel. I just talk about board game strategy. I do a lot of like commentary on the World Series of Board Gaming videos, but I have some like generic theory content and a couple other things that I've tried to do here and there. But yeah, if you're just deep diving into just the strategy side and not so much the review side, then yeah, come and check it out. Phoenix.
Yeah, the reason I wasn't in this episode is because I don't feel like I can speak to strategy. I think I'm a decent board gamer, but I think, you know, people oftentimes ask me, like, what's a good strategy for this game or whatever in a video that I make, and I'm just like, I don't know. I just play it, and then I play it how I play it. So when you two were really excited to make a strategy episode for Maracaibo, I literally told you, I was like, go for it. Like, I'm okay not being in this because I don't think I'm going to have anything to add except increase the length of the video. And I've gotten a lot of comments, even like emails, people saying they want to see more of those episodes. And I think the short version is, Nick is making them all the time on his channel.
Exactly.
Phoenix.
Exactly.
Like, it didn't make sense to make more of them on Friendly Ties because there's a different outlet for them, essentially.
I do think it's really important that our listeners know that John is not one of these like content creators who's just a very casual game player. He's a serious threat in any board game he plays. Don't let him let him fool you.
You are, John.
Yeah. I think I was surprised at how much traction this video got. You know, it's so many comments, even now, like a couple of years later, it really resonated with a lot of people. So I guess there's a lot of people who want strategy content out there, right?
Yeah, no, I think I love this episode. And it was such a treat to be something that was, I think, a little bit of a creative departure for us and a little bit of a risk on all fronts to just kind of be like, and it was something we were just passionate about putting out, and to have it do all the things that Nick said, and to be the episode that by and far most people, when they're like, you know, oh, your Friendly Ties, oh my God, I loved your How Do You Win Maracaibo episode.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one people always reference to me. And it's crazy, even, you know, you're like just like the last couple of weeks. And so
sounds like I should not show up more often.
You know, this is what I love about the three of us is, you know, we each kind of bring different things to the table. And Nick, puff you up a little bit here. You are an incredible game player and an incredible strategist. And you know, the proof is in the pudding, and you're very good at talking about it, and you're very good at teaching. And I think what this episode was just a chance to kind of capture what Nick has done for me. You know, he's kind of changed the way that I play games because I, you know, you have made me think about strategy and talk about strategy a lot more than I ever did before. And you've gone out of your way with, there's different games where I'm like, Nick, I want to play this game better. Like, and Nick has a great way of breaking things down and teaching the games and teaching different strategies for the games. And so that's what makes, you know, his channel so great and such a great opportunity to continue learning about different games. There's so many games on there that he's kind of broken apart. And I am constantly looking for another opportunity to do How Do You Win that would feel right for Friendly Ties. We haven't found it yet, but I would like to do another one of these episodes, and when we find a good one, we'll put it out there. But this was a really special episode, and I'm really glad we did it.
No follow-up, 10 out of 10 comment, thank you. Yeah, Messina 1347.
Oh man, I okay, bleep me, John, I love this game.
Yeah, nothing like rats and just plague and fire.
It's so funny how many of these games I've played in the last 3 months. This is crazy. I just taught this to a friend of mine. We didn't even finish the game. It was like really late on a game night. And she loved it. The theme of this game, for any of the gamers that are just like, you theme forward, it does not disappoint. And I broke my rule. We played it 3-player. I said this game could, I really only want to ever play this game at 2. I've turned down games of it just to play it at 2. And we played it 3, and it was smooth. And I had just taught it again, like kind of cold. I hadn't played it in a while. And it was like moving and flowing, and we had the best time. We didn't even finish the game. And she was like, we got to play this again. And I was like, it's still so good. Like, it's not the best game in the world, but I don't know, guys. I think you got to go back to Messina, because it's good stuff. And I played it a bunch since, and it's still good. And I stand by everything I said.
Yeah, I think my thing about Messina, thinking back on it, and it's been well over a year since I've played, I think that this game has a cool idea, a cool core loop, and maybe one too many Euro mechanics. I think that they made this game less Euro content than actually it would probably sit a little bit wider in my heart, because what you were saying about like the theme being really cool and it being like really resonant, like I agree. And the idea that like folks come to your little chateau and then you send them back to populate the city, like that's a cool loop, but there's too many fiddly little this and that's that get in the way of the feeling of doing that for me.
Yeah, and I think for me it was just a bit too pop-off-y. Like, I'm looking at my plays. I played it 4 times, and I have not played it since we released that episode. And I think I would be down to play it 2 players, but I would need, like, a slight bit of convincing.
Which is, like, the theme of this entire, like, retrospect is that John does not play games after he finishes a thing. Yeah. he's like, I'm a professional. I need to play a new game. Next week, let's move on with our lives.
Well, the next episode is not about a game in particular. It's all about Nick. Mm. And Nick ruins
Engine. That's right. Creative era. I love
my opinion about engine, or the use of the phrase engine building. I feel like this wasn't a very popular episode. We basically decided not to do like that much game theory stuff after this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? You imparted in me. Every time I say engine building, I stop myself and think first. Is this really an engine? Every single time.
Also, I'm pretty sure this episode sprang from Messina. Like, I think we were recording Messina and we're mentioning the engine, making an engine. And Nick was just like viscerally like, it's not an engine building game. And we're like, there's an episode in here. we gotta pull the threads on this. And yeah, I didn't look at the numbers, but I think it was one of the lesser viewed ones. But it probably, it doesn't hit for search engine optimization as much. And I don't know. I wouldn't mind doing more stuff like that. I mean, I guess this video right now is sort of a meta video in itself, but I was really happy that we did that. I thought that was one of our first conversation episodes, as opposed to like sort of a review. It was just, we kind of turned the microphones on and asked Nick to espouse about his strong opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we could revisit it. I wrote a Reddit comment the other day giving someone my thoughts on like what an engine building game is that makes you score points in the game rather than like only at the end of the game. And someone responded and was like, what you described is not really an engine building game. And I responded, I was like, you know what? I agree with you, but I've just been... it's impossible to talk to people without using this language.
Good times.
After that, we have a game that I played once. Cape May.
Oh, Cape May.
Yeah.
Cape May.
Yeah, this is...
I think I was a champion in this one. I did buy it, and it's still on my shelf. I do still own it, and it definitely is one of those ones that, like, every time I go to do a call, I'm like, is it time? I don't know. But, man, speaking of a game with theme, I still really like this. I have subsequently played it, and it's, when we were, last episode, we were talking about Wormspan and Wingspan, and we were like, where do, like, light to midweight games kind of, like, live now? I'm really struggling with that, because... This is just like a really solid light to medium game, and I don't know where those live for me in my collection anymore, especially as I kind of like turn and dive really deep into, you know, what I've been into lately is playing a lot of, you know, older titles, you know, things that came out 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, as I kind of go in that direction, I feel like those games are overtaking that kind of light to medium space for me. And so Cape May is a kind of a difficult one because it's a little bit longer, but it is just lovely. I just don't know, kind of, but it is more of a, you know, a modern Euro. And so I do still own it. I have one friend that I really want to play it with who I think it's very much his level and style of gaming. And so I'm kind of holding on to it for when we have an opportunity to play it. And that's going to kind of be my evaluation of it. But it's still a lovely game, but I don't know if it's one that's gonna kind of stick around forever, but I do still have it.
I've got one line about this game from what I remember. I think I probably said this in the episode too, but if you're a designer and you're considering how can I do roll and move in the modern era, go play Cape May.
Oh yeah. Oh, 100%. Yep. Good little game. We're on a theme kick. Oh my God. The next one is theme everything.
Dead Reckoning. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I suggested we do this retrospective because someone commented on Reddit again that Dead Reckoning is the only podcast board game episode they've ever listened to multiple times. And first of all, I was like amazed. I was floored. I went and listened to it again. And it is absolutely hilarious.
It is so funny. I listened to it too after that and I was laughing so hard. Talk about a game that captured just pure joy. Oh my God.
Yeah, this game's hard to own. I haven't been able to play it again. It's not the most appealing to fire up on TTS. I want to play this game on the table.
I want to
upgrade the pirates and move around the map. And it's big and it's messy and sprawling, but like it was a lot of fun. And I really liked a lot of the pieces of this game. I liked the playing of the game, I think, more than the scoring of the game. But the playing was really fun. It was very thematic. There's a lot of different like paths you could take. Felt super replayable and interesting in that way. Yeah, I would love. I want to be walking through a convention hall, seeing someone setting this up, and be like, "Oh my God, can I join you guys?" Like, that's I want it
absolutely,
so bad.
Absolutely. Talk about a game that I've like held a torch for. Like someone say they want to play Dead Reckoning right now, I'll drop everything. I'll be there. Like and I own it. I have it. I'll bring it.
So I gave you my copy.
Yes, I have John's copy.
And that's not because I don't like it. So I actually did play it in person because I had that copy.
No, it's because I put dibs on it. I was like, the minute you're thinking that you don't have space for this, I'll take it.
And that's exactly it. It's huge. In person, this box is enormous because there's a big pirate cube tower and all that kind of stuff. And I also had a lot of fun. I would honestly be very happy to play this game again. I played it in real life once and I had a really good time. It was a two-player game and it took like our entire dining room table. It's just real sprawl. But I just did not think I was going to be pushing to get it played as much. And then knowing Anastasia was like chomping to get it, I was like, this is actually relatively easy to like move it over there. And then I would love to play it with you again, Anastasia. We get together, like I would very, very happily do that. It's when you're playing it, you're just like a kid with your Lincoln Logs or Legos, and you're just tinkering and just doing cool stuff on every turn. And then the game is over and you see who won. But
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is just a game that, of all the games that we're talking about today, this is the one I most like regret that I like have not played since we recorded. Like and that's because of exactly what Nick said. It's so sprawling. Honestly, I'm daunted to relearn it. Like there's a lot of elements there, but if I had the opportunity to, I would 100%. And I you know, just need to kind of push a little bit more to make that happen. And we will make it happen. But it's just one of those games where I've just like, yeah, just we had so much fun and I've just wanted to go back to it. But, you know, I will say though, it's like, I knew that this would happen with this game, which is why I think I was pushing, you know, is telling John like I'll take your copy, because it wasn't a game that I necessarily was going to go out and buy for this exact reason, because I knew that it wasn't going to it was going to be a hard game to get to the table. But man, if you have a group that, you know, we'll play this, you know, every week, or just this is your style of game and you can get it to the table, oh,
I think playing it like twice a month would be the dream. Like, you know, because if you keep all the rules in your head, there's so much content in there, especially if you went hard on the Kickstarter. Like, there's all these, like, saga extra expansions, all and all that stuff. Like, there's just an incredible amount there. 100%. But for a game that you play, like, once a year, it is a decent amount to spin back up again. And it's very easy to just keep looking at it yourself and saying, I'll get back to you. And then not.
Exactly. And I don't often regret, like, we often, when we, to do an episode, we will play a game quite a few times, or as many times as I want to play it in that period of time, usually. But this is one of the ones where, like, I wish in that window where it was still in my head, like, I wish we'd played it more. Like, because, you know, now there is that spin up, but good times. Dead Reckoning. You want an episode that captures us? Go listen to that.
Yeah, it's so good. Maracaibo Uprising, I think, is the one after that. That's our in-person play, yeah.
Yeah, so this is...
That's right.
Yeah, it's funny.
We filmed it. It's a little Patreon exclusive on John's channel.
Yes,
It was like one of our first
Nick and
playthrough with friends.
Came to my house and in the studio, and we played a full... This is the cooperative version of Maracaibo. And with the intention of it probably going out on the main John Gets Games YouTube channel, but there were some technical... pink screen issues, like it's very visible, but I decided to make it a Patreon exclusive mostly because it was not as polished as I normally put out there. But yeah, this is interesting because I was very high on Maracaibo Uprising. In fact, I believe my hot take was I had no interest in playing Maracaibo the regular game really anymore because I enjoyed the cooperative mode so much, and I'm not a cooperative gamer generally, and I think that was different from you two.
I actually really liked all the things that Uprising did. And if I remember correctly, there was one module that I was like, wait, we need to play. Even in the episode, I was like, we need to play it that way. And I'm sorry to say that we haven't, at least not yet. I think Uprising is the perfect expansion for Maracaibo. And if you want more Maracaibo, it does so many more things. It makes a co-op and makes it just is. I would love to play it more. But I also kind of, I think I found myself, I hate to put the games in comparison, but I think I've just found myself go so deep into the Great Western Trail world with the release of Argentina and New Zealand that I kind of like, that's where my super heavy fister world took me after this.
Yeah, I played a fair amount of Maracaibo. I quite like it. I've never said to myself, Maracaibo needs more content in it. So the content side of Uprising doesn't do it for me. But as John said, I like the cooperative side a lot, and just real life has presented no opportunities to sit down and be like, hey, we all really love Maracaibo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's like play the co-op version of it. But I think that if you're a designer looking to figure out how can I make sort of a Euro semi solitaire Euro, but you do make some decisions that weigh on each other. I think it's a good model to look at. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. Cause like the core tension is like, you're playing it like it's a competitive game. It's just we all lose if any of us have less points than a neutral player. So it's kind of like, you know, we're all in a race, but we're like, oh, crud, somebody is lagging. Let's all help that person, you know, along, as opposed to a lot of cooperative games that are like, we have to work together. Like, I do this and you do that and I do this. It leaned to the competitive nature of it. It was a competitive game. You just... all competing against this solo player.
Yeah,
and I think it's pretty cool.
I'm giggling over here because I just had this like flashback of a memory of me like trying to win cooperative Maracaibo against you two.
Yeah.
like it's cooperative.
Yelling at me.
I'm literally screaming it's a cooperative game.
Yeah,
that play. Man, because speaking of a game that to me I've always played very competitively, and it's, you know, as a game we talked a lot of strategy about, it's a game I played very competitively against Nick, trying to put my mindset into cooperative Maracaibo. Really fun and a very interesting take on it. This one and Dead Reckoning, these are two games where I really wish Nick and I lived in the same place, because if we did, these are games that would be just, you know,
let's kill our Sunday.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And I, like I said, I really liked Uprising. I think for a cooperative, it does really cool stuff. The biggest problem with it is Maracaibo has a lot of rules already. And then if you're teaching something new, it's like, okay, let's go through all these Maracaibo rules. And now there's a whole other layer of rules to go on. It's like the typical expansion problem. And I think that's why, even though I really enjoyed our plays, I have not come back to it since we recorded that episode. Well, we have another Nick-centric episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one also came from a conversation where Nick was, you know, Nick has, he talks a lot about the World Board Gaming Championships, and Anastasia and I was just like, what is this? And we're like, let's turn the microphones on. that was a very informative episode. Like, I really didn't know anything about that convention going into it.
I know. I'm so glad that we did this because I learned so much more even by recording the episode than even just talking about it. And hopefully for anyone that is at all interested in going to the World Board Gaming Championships, you listen to this, because even though it's from a year ago, I think a lot of it's still very,
all the comments there are still totally valid. The only difference is that now I'm a member of the board.
Ooh.
Now he's even more fancy.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only difference. It's just, it is the best board game convention to go to if you are looking to play games in a organized structure. What I mean by that is that, like, you know, if you go to Dice Tower or you go to BGG Con, you like essentially have to either bring friends or make friends. And you know, for some folks that's not easy to do. Right. This convention, you show up, they have scheduled hundreds of games, and so you just show up. It's like, I like playing Azul, I like playing, we don't have Maracaibo, but if we had Maracaibo, like, this game, you show up and there will be a lot of other people there to play that game. And they'll know how to play the rules. You won't have to go through that kind of stuff, right? Like, it's a really great convention for playing games. And it's not you don't go here for the vendor hall, you know, none of that other stuff. But it is really, really wonderful. It's outside Pittsburgh. Come check it out if you're anywhere nearby.
Yeah.
100%. I will say one thing that came out of this is you talk so much in this particular episode about Adele Verfliktet. Am I saying that right?
Yeah. Adele Verfliktet.
And had an opportunity to get, I think, the Aaliyah version, and I own it now. I don't have you here to play it, but I am going to play it and try to understand.
Well, Nick was the world champion, joy. So I don't know if you want to.
He is the world champion.
No, I'm not currently. I didn't win this last year.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
the title was
let
taken.
Us down.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we've got a game that's not a revisiting one. We got Carnegie. This is another one.
Oh,
that we
man.
Went hot and heavy on. Like,
I love Carnegie. Love it so much. I just think it's one of the best Euro games to come out in years.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to burn out on it, but I've gotten back into playing it again recently. I really love this game.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear you say that because, oh my God, let's get off here and let's go play it because I played it so hard for that episode. Yeah. I think we were like mocking me for
you
how
played,
much
like,
I played
it. Five times in a week. It was insane.
It was like 11 times in a week.
It was like five times in a night.
It was like, yeah. It's on VGA, and I, you know, had the opportunity to play it a whole bunch. And then for some reason, I didn't play it like after that for a while. And I kind of like lost it. And I just tried maybe like a month or 2 months ago to play it on BGA and it kind of came back, but I was like, man, I felt like I lost all of my like strategy and the rules and like all of that. And I was a little bit bummed out. So I'm actually really excited to hear you say that, Nick, because this is one of those games that I don't think has gotten quite like, it's kind of flown under the radar, and it is such a good game. Such a good game, even better, I think, with time than I felt in that episode. I think I still remember being like very conflicted about it, where I was like, I don't know if it is such a good game. And I did buy a copy of it. Talk about a game that I have still in shrink that I really want to crack the shrink on. Like, I would love to play this game more. Mm-hmm. Definitely not quite as much as I want to play Dead Reckoning. I will drop everything to go play Dead Reckoning, but I do want to play this game.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like Carnegie is doing things that I've never seen in another game since or before. Like, it looks like a modern Euro. You walk by the table, somebody's playing it, you're like, that looks like a good looking game, but it looks like, you know, it's probably worker placement that also has some action selection and some, no, it's just like, once you learn it, it's like, wait, what is this? It really is totally its own beast. And I think, you know, I played it once since we recorded that episode and I had a really good time with it. It's been about a year, it looks like, since I played it, and I don't think it's ever leaving our collection. Because, I mean, I played it 12 times. Like, I don't play a game 12 times if I'm not a really big fan of it. I think I burned out a little bit on it, and so it's been on the back burner.
Did we ruin it for you, John? Did we ruin it with the knife fight? Talk about a quote that I go back to.
Yeah, yeah.
Dancing in a knife fight.
Yeah, like, the different ways you can play that can definitely change your perspective on that overall game. But, yeah, I mean, what you all said, it's just, it's such a cool game. I mean, just mentioning it, getting you all excited, like I could feel the endorphins flooding your systems.
The player interaction is just so top notch because it's both positive and negative. Like, really, most games tend to have one kind of player interaction, and this has both, and it does it really elegantly.
Yeah,
yeah,
it really does. Yep. After that, we have Sealand. A game that Nick has played once, I think. Sealand, yeah.
Yep. It's a game with windmills and numbers. You make the numbers and the colors good, and then you win.
This was John and I, like, we John's been on this like old Euro kick with me. There are dusty dry Euros.
Does it
count
as a kick if it's been like 2 years?
Yeah, it's true. It's still
this is
strong.
A lifestyle choice for
this
the two of you.
And this was our attempt to get Nick hot and bothered with dusty dry Euros. And I think we succeeded about as well as John succeeded with train games.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a nice time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm going to bleep myself. I f***ing love this game. like, I have a copy of this one. Every time I see it on my shelf, like, that's when the endorphins flood my system. I have played this one only 6 times, but I have played it since we recorded our episode. I played it at 2. It's amazing. I played it at 3. It's amazing. I played it at 4. It's amazing. I love the interaction. I love the way you're sharing the resources on the board, like competing while you're also kind of cooperating a little bit. I love the decisions of, like, is this score good enough to, like, put my pin down onto the score track to say this is one of the best for endgame scoring. I love that there's these governors that wander around judging you, and you can get creative with them and, like, intentionally fail something which isn't good for you in order to sick the governor on somebody else that's going to hurt them even more. I love that there's a double rondel system. I love this game. It's so good.
It's so good. It's yeah. So good. It's so smart. It's so beautiful. It's beautiful just in the game. I mean, it's actually a pretty game in person, but it's mm-hmm. also just like, it's just a beautiful design. I still really love, I think you do too, John, just the mystery, like not playing with the open tiles.
Yes.
Love the flipping. I love the
what's
excitement.
Under the tile?
I love the, like, oh
yeah.
My God, the stupid decisions that I will make to go discover, like, a tile.
Yeah, to flip a tile over and it's got a governor, and the governor's going to inspect your worst windmill, and you're like, why isn't the governor over there?
Never thought I could be so excited about windmills, and yeah, just definitely a little hidden gem here with this one. And a game that, like, you know, speaking of, you know, games that, like, John, you've gone back to and kept playing, it's a game that even just, you know, within the last few weeks, you know, we've talked about being like, hey, do you want to play Sealand? So
yeah. I mean, we keep talking about recording a playthrough of it for the YouTube channel, like, when you come over, like, it's high on the list to just, like, throw down, and I hope to do that at some point, because it is a brutal and delicious game at 2 players for sure. I guess thank you to you, Anastasia, because I had never heard of this game before. You got it, and you wanted to get it off your shelf, and we learned it together, and my life is different now.
Talk about a game in shrink that had lasted for so long. Honestly, I think this game really was, for me, part of the kickoff of the lifestyle choice that is the quest to find the hidden gem, because I think Sealand really was my first real
success. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So next up we have Terra Nova, which is a look back game, essentially. This is the kind of streamlined version of Terra Mystica. And we played this one a couple of times before we recorded that episode.
Yeah. I thought that I was not going to play this game after we recorded it, and I have been wrong. I have played more Terra Nova than I would have expected at the end.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, in the episode, I talk about how I love the whole Terra universe. I like all the games that they've made. I've not played Age of Innovation, but I'm sure I'll love it when I play it. And this one felt like it didn't have enough teeth, I think, for me in the long run, given those things. But actually, it does a lot of what I want to do in the game, but quickly. And just it's easier to like fire off a game on Board Game Arena often, and you know, it plays a lot faster. I don't think that it's like the top, it hasn't like moved up in terms of like how much I love it. But it just, I've played it a lot more than I would have thought, which is great.
Yeah.
This is a really fun one. I think that this is one of those ones where I think I'd only played it once, and then we like almost, I think we might've recorded immediately after my first play. So it was just a hot takes. And mm-hmm. I don't think I haven't gone back to it, but I thought about it a lot. And I think I haven't gone back to it mostly because I was never a huge Terra Mystica fan. Like, it's not that I wasn't a fan. It's just not a game that, like, I played a ton. I have played Gaia Project in the last year. But again, these aren't games. Like, these are games that, like, if I see on the table, like, I'm going to say yes, but I'm not championing.
Right.
So Terra Nova is not necessarily a game that I needed. But I'm, like, so glad that this came out. And I referenced this game. You know, I think up to that point, I hadn't seen a game really do the pared down sibling quite as well as I think Terra Nova mm-hmm. did for Terra Mystica.
Yeah, yeah. I've played this one 7 times. I played it after we recorded. We still have it in our collection. And I feel conflicted about it. Like, I enjoy playing it. I do like that you can finish the game in like 60 minutes. But I think because this is such a streamlined version of the larger games with, you know, Terra Mystica, sort of Gaia Project, I think Terra Nova, more than those other ones, has made me realize that this is too strategy for me. Like, there's not enough tactics for me. And, like, these games, like, they, you know, expanding out to Terra Mystica and Gaia Project, which I've enjoyed playing, but I'm oftentimes frustrated. And I'm like, oh, you know, 20 minutes ago, I should have placed one hex over, or I should have gained that one extra, you know, coin instead of wood, or whatever. I don't remember all the specifics. And, like, and for the want of that one coin or that one wood that you could have had, your entire everything collapses. Mm. And a lot of people love that, obviously, Nick. That plays really well for you, and I like it. Jessica likes that a lot more than me. She really enjoys Terra Nova, and I'm just fine with it. Like, I enjoy playing it because I enjoy playing games with other people. And I played it 7 times, which is not insignificant. But even though it's quicker and all that kind of stuff, it is still one of those games where you sit down and you're like, I need to plan out my entire round, and then maybe even the next round. And if you don't do that, then you can whiff and then end up doing like almost nothing in a round, which feels terrible. And that's something that can happen in a lot of these. So it's not really a slight at Terra Nova. It's more like this just made me hone in on one of the reasons why I never quite fell in love with Gaia Project and Terra Mystica. Like, I tried. I really did. We still own Gaia Project. I played it a bunch. And every time I played it, I was, like, trying to convince myself that I loved it, because it's a very good game. But, you know, tastes differ for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's really beautifully said, John, because I think that actually captures the feeling that I couldn't quite find words for, that I think is very, very similar to yours. I mean, I love planning, but these games do ask you to play. I don't play them so much that I'm so versed in the planning that I'm able to execute them as well as I think I should be able to. And that feeling does kind of linger with me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, after that, we have a tiny little game, Dice Miners.
Dice Miners.
Dice Miners.
Yeah.
Dice Miners. This is probably the lightest game that we have ever done a full episode on on this podcast.
I saw it in real life for the first time, and I do see why you guys were compelled by the the dice mining stand.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one that, like, Anastasia and I played just on a off chance, and then we were like, oh, you should show it to Nick, and then we played it again. Oh, Nick and I played it, just the two of us, right before we recorded.
Right.
And I think we were just enjoying trying to be consistent with episodes, so I think we sort of shoehorned this one in. Not like it was a bad episode by any means, but it was like, oh, we played this like once or twice, let's talk about it, even though it's not this gigantic whatever. Yeah. I have not played it since.
Man.
I remember saying that I wouldn't mind having a copy, and I have not bought a copy, but literally I just added it to my wish list. I'm like, that's right. I forgot about this game, and I forgot that this is actually a game that I'd really like to have in our collection to bust out.
Because, oh my God, okay.
Because I had fun with it.
I'm going to give you mine. So you can have mine. So you can have mine and hold it.
Perfect.
For us. Okay.
Perfect. Dead Reckoning for Dice Miner. It's a standard trade.
Definitely same value. Yeah. I love trading with John. He's my favorite trader.
I think I would very likely have played this one more if I had it in my collection. Just, you know, busting out for like a small half an hour thing before people show up and whatnot, because there's just sometimes a joy in rolling a whole bunch of dice and not really having push your luck. Like, so many times dice games with a ton of dice are all about push your luck, and I feel like this game, there's a tons and tons of luck, obviously, but it's not specifically a push your luck type of game, and I think I like that about it.
Yeah, I still really like this game. I have played it subsequent to our episode. Everything I said about it at the time, I stand by, and I this is just such a great one and such an easy one to pull out. I think for me, it's actually kind of been on the line of moving on. So I'm like, I'm so excited to give it to you because that means I get to keep it. But like, I'm just recognizing that this is just a game that didn't speak to my partner. And so it's not a game that, you know, we're going to pull out at home. And if it was, it would 100% stay because I really love it. But yeah, this one is just so hard. Like, I've put it on the trade list, like, and taken it off the trade list, like, so many times. It's one of those ones, like, I love. And there are definitely games that, like, I hold on to and, like, never play just because I love them, right? Like, but I'm excited that we're going to play it again because I'm going to give it to John and then we're going to play it. So
there we go. Well, after that, we've got Empire's End. Episode 20.
Empire's End. Yeah. Same designer as Dead Reckoning, inexplicably, but... Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's also John DeClair?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Now, I have not played this one since we recorded, but I backed the Kickstarter. But so that definitely says something. In fact, I probably mentioned that in the episode. And I have the physical copy. In fact, I had a game day yesterday, and one person pointed to it. They're like, what about Empire's End? And I was like, I would really like to play that right now, but I need to reread the rules, so we can't.
Yeah.
So this definitely is an interesting one to wrap your head around.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I would for sure play this game again. Haven't played it again, and I don't own it or know anyone that owns it. But that's part of the problem with reviewing or you know, a game that didn't even really exist at the time, right?
Yeah.
My like emotional reaction still, I think I mentioned in the episode, is that I really, really was drawn to the theme. And I like the mechanisms in the game, but the matching of the mechanisms and the theme is fine, but not, but it didn't like really hit what I was hoping to get. So it's one of those where like my expectations were just a little bit different than what I got. And that doesn't mean that it's bad, but it means that like there's just a disjoint there that's hard to get over.
Yeah. I was just thinking about this game this weekend because somebody I know, you know, put it up for sale, and I was like, "Oh, do I want Empire's End?" And I really did enjoy our plays of it. I think that I have yet to see another game kind of like capture this feeling of like tearing apart your world quite so well as that game did. Yes, everything will be destroyed. How would you like to build best to that destruction? Right.
So it's like you choose your safe harbors and things
exactly.
like that. Yeah.
So it's like, it's a very unique and interesting way to play a game. And it's one of those games that was just like a really enjoyable time. Probably not a game I'm going to own. Game I'd be happy to play again.
Yeah, I really got to get my copy off the shelf.
But then we could go ahead and skip the next couple because that's the Ark Nova, which we've already talked about. And then we go to Atiwa. Aw, little batsy guys. They poop on the food.
Yeah. I've played this one 5 times. I've not played it since we recorded this episode, which I guess is saying a little bit less now that we're starting to get kind of current. Like, this episode came out July of last year, so less than a year ago.
I would happily play this game again. Yeah. If anybody was like, do you want to try this game? I don't think I like entirely remember the rules, but I thought it was just a really delightful, it's like a cottage core Euro game, right? Just like very cozy.
Cottage core.
Have you not heard that term before?
No, I haven't. I love it.
I haven't. I love it applied here. It's so good.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, this like cozy. I don't know why it needs to be aggressively cozy. I'm not that into the cottage core world, but it felt appropriate here. I think it's the vibes that I'm going for, right?
It's very cute.
I really like the management. I like the trickle down waterfall of the resources in this game. I think it's very satisfying. I think I, I if I remember correctly, in the episode, we talked about how, like, the point scoring is, like, so close. You know, it's like you're getting really these tiny edges over your opponents. I honestly care less about this game for the competition and more about the game for the, like, managing my little domicile situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I just...
There's a little bit of competition with the worker placement, but for the most part, you're just, like, playing with your toys and then occasionally looking up.
Oh, it's so good. It's so easy to teach. It is. What I love about this game is, like, Ui's made a lot of great games, but this one is... It's just the playtime for what it is just awesome. Like, it plays really fast. It's just crunchy enough to really sink your teeth into, but it's not as sprawling as A Feast for Odin or Fields for Arlay or, you know, even, you know, this is definitely, I think, you know, more in the Glass Road world. And I really like this game. It's so funny because I say this in the episode, like, I was kind of middling on it, even meh, when we played it. And then, you know, every time I went back to it.
Well, you didn't like the idea of the bats.
Well, that, I mean, even more so, like, from the beginning, from the first time John brought it up, I was like, bats pooping. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, and then they eat the poop or something. And I was like, okay, like, I don't.
They don't eat the poop. They fertilize oranges. This is real stuff. This is how the real world works.
He exclaims that to me in the episode exactly the same, because I won't let go of the idea of this moment where I thought John's like typing from BGGCon and I'm like, why are bats eating their poop? I don't understand. No. You know, my biggest problem with this game is it's actually the same issue with Dice Miner, is that I played with my partner and she didn't really like it. And I think for first play, it can be a little bit hard to kind of, it's one of those games that can make you feel like you're not playing as well as you could be, you know, going back to, like, this, you know, needing to understand the strategy more deeply, like in Terra Nova, Terra Mystica, like that, like, I could be doing this or I should have planned this better.
It's cozy, but it's not.
Exactly.
Like,
it's a puzzle. Yeah. You know, every time you're playing, you're trying to play the puzzle better. And I remember that too in my first play, being like, oh, I wish I, like, could solve it. And it's not a game you want to solve, but it does kind of put it in a little bit of this weird space where I want to bring it out to just play casually, but I'm aware that I might be enjoying it more than the other person that I'm playing with, because they haven't, like, they don't quite grok the puzzle of it. Mm-hmm. So I haven't let go of it yet, just because I love it and because it does fit just like this great space. And I think it's better with kind of space between it because of that. You're not trying to solve the puzzle. You're just like, cool, I'm going to bring this out and just play it. And it's been a couple of months, but we'll see.
Also, the game kind of teaches itself. Like, you got player rates and whatnot. Yep. And it's like, I think you could not play this for 2 years and then bring it off the shelf and just kind of go. Like, look at the player rate, and it just, the game makes a lot of sense. It's not doing really anything revolutionary. I mean, the ecosystem is kind of cool. No, I haven't super seen that in other things, but it's just a lovely play experience. I haven't gotten rid of my copy either, even though it's been a while since I played it. It's on the shelf, and I think it'll stay there. Talking about it, like, so many things, makes me feel like, I'd love to play that.
Yeah, let's go play that.
The next game is, like, the opposite of Aiwa.
Oh my god.
<It's> Nucleum. And in fact, we went on a tear of, like, a lot of heavy game episodes after this. It's getting relatively recent, last October. But this is just a huge game. Like, Nucleum. So many rules.
Mm.
Yeah.
Talk about a game I want to hold the torch for. I loved Nucleum. Yeah. I have Nucleum. I have not played my copy since I got it, and I really want to. And I want more people to love this game, and I feel like it's like a hit or miss for people. And I'm almost like a little daunted to take it to a game night and be like, let me teach you Nucleum, because
it's a big commitment.
Yeah, I feel like you need a buy-in. So I'm a little bit daunted to just be like, hey, it's a great game. Because I feel like if you want to play it, you will have a great time with it. But, like, if you're just, like, maybe, you know, sitting down and like, oh, yeah, it looks interesting, like, I think there's a chance you won't. And we've had, unfortunately, a friend or two have that reaction, because it's kind of a lot. It's kind of a lot.
Yeah. This game, for sure, when you teach people, you know, if you know the game and they don't, I think you have to decide that you're willing, maybe even actively choosing, to lose the game. Because if you don't coach people and you know what you're doing and you're kind of like playing, focusing on your game, it's just going to be miserable, I think.
Yeah.
you gotta steamroll them. You have to sacrifice that first game at the altar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the first game is going to be 2 to 3 hours.
I know.
I also really enjoy playing this game. I also have a copy in my collection, and I have also not played it. And I think my biggest problem with this game is, as the primary rules teacher in game settings, I'm just exhausted thinking about teaching this
I'll
game.
Teach it. Like, I'll teach it. Will you play it? I'll teach it.
Great.
We'll get some people.
Okay,
let's
do it. Because the last time I did this, like, it was my most efficient teach ever, I thought. Like, I taught it, like, 4 or 5 times, and I timed myself. And it was still an hour. Like,
I know.
It was a solid hour teaching this. And I felt like I was doing a good, efficient job of getting through the rules. And then you play a game that is the minimum, in my opinion, 2 hours. And, like, I don't mind playing a 3 to 4 hour session of something, especially if it's a lot of fun. It's just, it's not like, oh, I don't want to do that. It's more like, oh, that sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of Atiwa, right? Like, if you go, like, 2 months without playing Nucleum, you feel like you got to read the entire rulebook again.
I know.
Yeah. It's because all the systems are familiar enough, but they're not the same. There's no system in this game that you're like, this is exactly the same as this game.
Nope.
You're like, it's kind of like Brass like this. It's kind of like Barrage like this, but, like, that rule's different, so actually let me just start over again and explain the normal rules.
Like 100%. I'm hoping, you know, this is one where I'm hoping the expansion, I don't know exactly what the expansion does. I think it adds a different map, Australia, I think, if I'm leaping to conclusions there based on the name. But it's a total blind expansion buy for me, because I'm just kind of excited to see what it does and change. And there are a couple rough edges that maybe it will streamline. So I'm that might be just a perfect excuse to play it again. And hopefully it doesn't add too much overhead, but, you know, we'll find out. Yeah.
It's a network game that works at 2, by the way, because you have your own network, but it's still, the management is still interesting enough. You know, a lot of networking games where it's like you play at 2, it's like, well, there's no competition, you can go wherever, but that's not the only thing you're managing, so it's got a little bit more legs in that way.
I think it works really well at 2. Yeah, a game I'd love to go back to. Very happy that I have it, and definitely one of my favorite games that came out last year. Speaking of heavy games, though, and games that came out last year, shall we talk about Evacuation, which was our...
Evacuation, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
It's our final episode we recorded last year,
Evacuation was a really fun game to learn. I like the system, I like the puzzle, but I mean, like a lot of these games, I haven't returned to it, but this is one where I don't feel a compulsion to return to it either. Mm. I liked learning it. It was cool for its couple plays. And now I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
I loved this game. I loved the experience of playing it. I loved the journey of discovering it. I loved all of the pieces. I think the thing that is hardest for me with Evacuation is just the two ways to play. Like, I only want to play the advanced version with the cards. And I think actually I ended up burning myself out a little bit playing the non-card version.
The race version.
Because I kept, the race version. Because I kept trying to teach it to new people and then playing the race version, but then not playing the card version or whatnot. Yeah. So I would
the allure of the fun next play
exactly
kept not happening.
Exactly,
you kept doing the pace lap
exactly
kind of thing.
I have it. I own it. I'm really happy to own it. I would be happy to play it if I just want to sit down and just kind of like do my own thing and just really crunch my brain and like play with my little planets. Such a good time. So. And I'm still kind of holding out that that's going to happen in the nearest future because it's still kind of fresh enough in my brain. But of course, as the months go by, I'll probably have to relearn it to teach it. But
yeah, I feel super similar to this one as I do for Nucleum. Evacuation also has like approaching an hour rules teach, and I really enjoy the game. And just like Anastasia, I'm super over the race mode, which is like the first way you're quote unquote supposed to play, to the point where I feel like in the future, if I do play this more, I am going to skip right to the fun mode, even though it's more rules.
Yep.
Because you only live once, and I've played the race mode like three times, and that's 2 times too many, in my opinion. Like I was hopping around excited. One time, and I think I played with the cards twice, and it was just a completely different joy experience for me, and it really seemed like that's how the game should be played. But unfortunately, I've not played this since we recorded it. I mean, it's only been like 3 months now, but I've not played it since then when I've had opportunities to, because 45 to 60 minute rules teach, and like I could teach and play an entire other game in that amount of time. And I think that's just where my brain is at. Like, I can enjoy Evacuation and Nucleum, even though my personal preferences right now are to play a bunch of 60-minute games instead. I think that's just where my brain's at.
Yeah.
The next game is my Torch game.
Kunta Hora.
Our 26th episode. Yeah, Kuna Ora.
Yeah.
We just released this like 2 months ago. So hypothetically, not a lot of changing takes and whatnot, but I want to open this by saying I love this game and I like it even more than I did. Like, we recorded this episode and I promptly played it like two more times the next week. And every time I played it, I'm just like, I love this game. It is so good. Like, the joy I have for it. And in comparison to Evacuation and Nucleum, I just complained, like, a big reason I'm not playing it is because of the rules teach. I don't mind slapping Kuna Ora down because I can teach this game in easily less than half an hour. And then the game itself is like maybe 90 minutes. So it punches at a medium weight while also not taking a whole bunch of time. I don't know. I played it 7 times now, and I almost played it again yesterday, and I would happily have done it. So this is the one that I'm like still really high on.
It's still exactly where it stood for me. It's not one I need to own. It's not one I'm gonna, champion, but it is a great experience. But what's so funny about it is that after we recorded that episode, I went to a game night and everyone there was like, "Oh my God, Kuna Hora." Like, I hadn't heard anybody talking about this game. And then suddenly, and they didn't even know about our episode. I had just met these people and they were like, "Oh my God, that game is so good." Like, what I was like, "Oh my gosh." Like, I felt like I was surrounded by people who just, this was their game of 2023, and it was just one that we just hadn't gotten to. It reminds me a little bit of Carnegie, where I think it's like a game that's just like this being the exception of people talking about it. I don't see it getting talked about a ton, and I'm very curious to see, where that goes in a year or two. I mean, I always laugh because like I played Concordia at the beginning, long before it became the hot, the beloved game that it is now, and so I always think it's fun to kind of wait and see how these games that maybe aren't immediately getting all this attention, like kind of like pan out over the years, because I think this one probably has the potential to be that because of the way it attracts like you, John. Like, and it wasn't quite that for me. But then again, I'm not always drawn to games that like really need three or four players to shine. For me, if you don't have a great two player mode, and we never played a two player, so I actually don't know what the two player
Yeah, I
experience is
did,
like.
and I liked it too, but you never got the chance
Yeah,
to.
maybe we should do that.
I think I was the coldest on this game when we did the episode on it, but I've got to say, since then, every time I've walked past a table that has had it out, I've stopped and studied the board game state. And so what that tells me is I'm actually itching to play it again.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty surprised. I didn't think that was going to be the case, but every time I walk past it, I'm like, ooh, and I do a little raised eyebrow thing and like
Like,
slow
oh,
my
they're
roll a
mining a lot this
little
game.
bit. Yeah.
Interesting. Or yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting here to the end here. Our last two most recent releases that have come out in this year did have our great, great Western Trail episode. And then we had Wormspan versus Wingspan. We're kind of in like a comparison mode right now,
Yeah.
guys.
Yeah,
And
we really are.
I'm really liking this
yeah.
format for us. It's not to say that we won't go back to doing the single game format. Obviously, that's our bread and butter. But
Yeah.
like, this is really, it's been really cool to do the comparison format.
Yeah. Yeah, it has been. And in fact, I do think our next episode is going to be similar to this. I've already kind of spoiled
Yes, a
it.
little
Because we
bit.
probably will put out an episode on the Pirates of Maracaibo, and that probably will compare it to Maracaibo. So
Yeah.
we're kind of in a zone right now.
This is cool. I'm really, this has been such a fun thing. I hope we keep doing it and get to episode 58. It'd be
Yeah.
nice to choose a more round number, but 58's double where we're at now, so
That's
that's what we're stuck
our
on.
goal. 58 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has been an absolute pleasure to record this with you guys and to everyone that listens. I know we don't have a schedule. We put these episodes out when we find a game that we enjoy and we played it enough that we feel like we just want to capture something. It's been really fun to just have this as
I
an
can't believe it's been two and a
opportunity.
half years,
I can't
honestly.
believe it either. No.
I was like putting this list together and it's like, holy cow. Oh
Yeah.
yeah, Carnegie. Oh yeah, Cape May. Oh yeah, Furnace. Like 2, 3 months gaps between episodes sometimes.
Yeah.
And then we'll have like 3 episodes in 3 months just because it kind of depends on what's hitting our brains.
Yeah.
And it still adds up though. And I'm really proud of it.
I just want to say thank you again, everyone, for like nominating us for the Golden Geek and like having listened and the people who listen and seem to enjoy it and comment. And it's fun to see what people think about the games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So
I think that'll bring us to the end of our impressive retrospective. 2.5 years of podcasting. Obviously, it's been killer. Thank you again so much for nominating us for the Golden Geek. That's a really, really, really exciting. And I know for Anastasia in particular has been like a really big goal for us. So yeah, hope you enjoyed the episode. We'll see you soon with Pirates of America. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thanks, everybody.